Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Looking for some amazing TV to stream? Indulge yourself with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the gang on How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons are now streaming on Hulu. Then you can move to Modern Family, Schitt's Creek, and My Wife and Kids. We are talking every single episode of every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits. Streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. Now we're talking.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast. Ooh, 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 ooh,
ooh, ooh, ooh. The Nikki Glaser Podcast. Here's Nikki.
Hello, here I am. It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast. Welcome to Monday morning here at the show.
Morning, afternoon. I just woke up. Well, I already woke up today, but then I took a nap and then I overslept. So I apologize to you guys for oversleeping. But I had a gyno appointment this morning at 9. But I got to walk there because I live so close to the hospital.
That's good.
It's pretty nice. It was in an alley. It was a back alley.
Yeah, old school.
Pap smear. They're not even letting us get those legally anymore.
Also, they're like, we could do it inside. You're like, this is what I prefer.
I brought a coat hanger. They're like, we don't need, yeah, that's not necessary.
It's not BYOH.
No. but I did have an exam, and I haven't had one in
did
like
you pass?
A while. Yeah, I got a, you I got a C.
Yeah, it's 74. Yeah.
With 38-year-old fucking uterus. They're like, yes. A C minus. We'll let you slide, even though there's nothing, there's no lubrication down here to slide down.
Well,
there was, so right before I went in, like the room, you know, they like weigh you and they do your blood pressure or whatever. By the way, I always get weighed blindly. I don't want to know my weight fucking ever, ever, ever. So I turn around. I'm like, can I just not see the number? And so I face the like out. I don't mm-hmm. face the number. And then I hear her type, and I hear her at 3 numbers, so I know I'm in the triple digit. I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I can hear it. I'm like, God damn it! No, that's the way it used to be for me. But no. It, and then she's doing the blood pressure, all the stuff, and then and I have this. When I was hospitalized for anorexia, I already have bradycardia, which is a very low heartbeat, just naturally, and that's why I was hospitalized, because my heartbeat was so low when I was 18 or whatever. And so I have this thing where when I'm getting my blood pressure taken, I always start like kind of hyperventilating, trying to get it up so I can not, so I don't have to be hospitalized.
So funny. I'm the opposite of that.
Really?
Yeah. Cause mine's so high.
But your heart rate is high, or your blood pressure?
Oh, I guess my blood pressure. But that that can affect it, your stress levels.
Yeah, isn't one of those numbers the heartbeat? No. They just take that number with the blood pressure, but it's not one of those.
A lot of times they don't do, I don't remember them doing my pulse so much, but what was your pulse at? Naturally, what is your pulse?
I don't
know,
I don't even
pulse?
Get that one.
Oh.
I mean, I don't ask for that number because I don't understand what that, but my it's about 40.
Okay, what was it today?
When you can always tell what your pulse, I can tell what my pulse is because I know what 1 second is, like 1, 2, 3. And if it's slower than 1 second, then that means it's less than 60. And if it's higher than 1 second, then it's more than 60. And then you just kind of see like, oh, is it 2 per second? Then it's 120. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Anyway, so I was just like, I just knew, like, even though it was like 20, literally 20 years ago, I was still like I just sit down and I start going just to get it up, which is so stupid. But then she was like, do you mind if, you know, your doctor's having someone shadow her, you know, another like a med student's shadow. And I was like, sure, bring him on in. I don't care.
Yeah.
Who cares? And then it was like, it was a boy. And then that changed my answer.
You have a female.
I have a female doctor. Yeah. I'm never having a male gynecologist ever, ever, ever again. Sorry, male gynecologist. I know you're in it for the right reasons, but are you? Pick a different one. Like, you don't need to pick that one. Unless you have some story about your mom dying of some kind of ovarian cancer or something. Mm-hmm. No, it's creepy. Ever since seeing that doctor.
So one doctor ruined it for you.
Yeah. Guess what? That's you guys don't get to do that now. And honestly, they... not only did she have a med student shadow her, which I agreed to when I thought it was a woman for some reason. And then when it was a boy, I was just like, wouldn't have said yes to this. Because it was like a young man.
I love when you say boy. I'm picturing Doogie Howser.
He seemed like a boy. I mean, he's probably 29, 30. Yeah. But he looked
like, damn, look at this bitch.
His name was
like,
Max.
Like he walks in like
he looked. Yeah. His name was Max. Max was not a name that was is
he has
anyone
highlights.
My name is named Max.
He has like spiky hair, like what Nikki Glazer, what's up?
They did call me Nikki at one point, and I was like, my name is Nicole on the thing. So someone knows who I am. They know whose pussy this is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think he said goodbye. He was like, bye, Nikki. And I was like, clocked that. Like, it definitely says Nicole on my chart. We did not talk about anything in here.
It's
that
like, when you're looking at my pussy medically, it's Nicole's pussy.
Well, it does have a Groucho Marx glasses on down there. So maybe that's how they knew I was a comedian.
Oh, is that why your pubic hair is in a mustache?
Yeah.
So he walks in.
I did not know it was a man. But I was just like, why would this matter? Why did it matter? Why would you let another woman and not a man? Well, because generally women aren't getting horny for pussies. And I have a famous pussy. I'm sorry. I do. Like, there's something about it. Like, I'm not just... if I don't care if people don't know who I am and they see something private about me. That's why I would always say, like, I would do porn if I could wear a mask or something. Like, mm-hmm. I don't care. But if they know, they can place who I am, it changes it. So that was the problem. Like, if I would never see... And this would be the same if, like, I found out this kid lives... It's as if... For someone who is not me to understand this,
it's like I think I would be like, with the guy.
Well, it would be the same as if you said yes to someone shadowing, and then they walked in. And there's someone who lives in your apartment building.
Yeah.
They know who you are. Let's say like they're not friends with you, but they know who you are. They see you get your mail and stuff. That's how it felt, and I was just like, oh God. And but I just did. I couldn't say anything because what do I say? Oh no, I didn't know it was going to be a man. And then that's even weirder. So then you have, and then not only do they have that, she says before I begin the exam, there's a new law where there has to be a chaperone in the room. So then they bring in a woman to stand by your head while they have their fingers in you, so nothing squirrely happens. Because if it was just me and the doctor, even though I'm a woman, we still do it, which I think is good, because. Gynos are creeps. Male gynos be creeping. And that's a new thing they've implemented. That's not because, just out of nowhere we wanted to start doing this. It's because shit was happening and now they're doing this.
I kind of feel like it's your porn fantasy. Finally, someone's petting your hair. It's just a chaperone. Finally, you have a good girl up top.
I have the joke. They don't know I have that joke, but you do. Where it's like, whenever someone's going down on me, I get lonely. And so I'm always like, I want someone up at the top. You're so right. It was someone up there.
So I mean, but three's come. I'm four's
I'm
company.
Sorry, that's the fact a lot. That that's why male gynecologists not okay. She literally said, even though I'm a woman, we still need a chaperone. That's why there is a chaperone in place now at whatever, at this really nice hospital. And she was like, it's now required by Missouri, you know, state medical law, whatever she said. They don't do that randomly. It's because it's creepy. Yeah. Male gynos. Why? Why are you doing it? I just don't. I used to have male gynecologists too because I wanted to be like progressive and be like, it doesn't matter. It's weird.
Yeah.
Unless you're a gay man.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Or I don't know, man. I'm trying to.
Maybe my woman was a lesbian. For some reason, I feel safer than if it were.
I feel like
a
male gyno doctor, if we had him on here, would say, I see a vagina. I just see it as literal skin.
Okay, well
at
then.
This point.
Okay, well then, how do you fuck your wife? How do you ever watch porn?
In the ass.
Well, I think. Yeah, well, you can see my asshole down there too because I shave it.
Would you say the same thing for like a proctologist? I think that's like where men go. Or like.
For a woman?
Well,
yeah,
no,
like women aren't getting turned on by men's penises. We don't have the same visceral response to men's penises that men do to our genitals. It's just not the same. And I know some women do, for sure. Some men do. Some male doctors who are gay men will probably like mouth water over a dick, but it's just not the same. It's just, it is weird. And you can say all day, it's just a body.
I'm just saying, I just think that that's what they would say.
I know that's what they would say, but then I would be sad for their wife.
No, but I think they can compartmentalize the two. It's like a breast cancer guy seeing tits and then seeing his wife's tits and not being
Max
turned on.
Max saw those too. Max saw my tits too. That was what we started with.
Max, I love that. His name was Max.
We started with my boobs.
Dr. Max.
It was like we were doing bases. Like, why not do boobs last? Why are we easing into this? Like, we're middle schoolers. Like, it is weird that we started there.
A taste test was weird and, too, Max. Like, that was weird. That was. So, wait. So did you say anything? Because that's what happens,
too. I thought it
was
a woman shadowing. Because they were like.
Look, I've dealt with that.
Maxine. And I go, wait a second. No, they didn't.
Well, also, I feel like it's partly like you want. I was insecure when I remember I had that hot nurse and I had problems with my balls. I'm not saying you have a problem with your vagina, but I had a problem with my balls where I had scabies. And so I thought, I'm going to disgust this woman. You know what I mean? So a lot of it was my own shit. Not so much that she's turned on by dicks, just that she's going to be so turned off by my balls.
Yeah. I mean, like, he's a young boy looking at my pussy that I did not prepare in any way.
Yeah. It's like brushing your teeth before the.
And I have insecurities about my vagina every time a man I do like goes down on me. Like, there's chronic, like, it's not good enough. Even if I was a tight fucking. I mean, when I was 22, I felt that way about my vagina. It doesn't matter. So, yeah, that is that. It's not like, oh, he's going to be so turned on. It might be that he's. Yeah, that he might be grossed out, that he might just judge me, like knowing he might get drunk someday and be like, I've seen Nikki Glaser's pussy. Like, she's on I come on TV at some bar he's at, and I'm sorry, I know he's dedicated 4 years of his 3 years, his badge said 3 year med student. That's not enough time for me to like think that you're not gonna talk about me.
That guy's still playing beer pong.
Listen, I know that that's a HIPAA violation, but I've had my own therapist violate HIPAA by talking about their other clients to me. So I do not think that it is beyond
the scope of
imaginable things that a med student. Max was very nice. When the doctor left, we actually had a little talk and he was very sweet. And I was asking about med school and stuff. But it was all done because it was awkward that my pussy was in the room that he was going to see. I would not have had this small talk. There's this air in the room of like, what we're doing is weird. Even the gynecologist who has been working, she's my age. She was like, doing like, oh, I know this is uncomfortable. No one wants this on a Monday morning. Like, she was at all the lines that everyone knows, like, this is awkward. And it just, even that made me feel awkward that there's like special ways to like joke about it.
You would almost want him to say nothing, I would feel like.
Yes.
Also, just the bright light. Whenever we're showing our genitals, it's never in bright light. Like, if you're fucking, it's in the dark or kind of.
And that makes it a little less sexual, I guess.
Yeah, it does make it less sexual.
Well,
I know what Sylvester Stallone's dick looks like because.
Why?
I never told you this story. No. I got drunk on it too. No. This guy.
Med school.
Yeah. My dad was in med school, and I was failing out of college. This guy had equipment that did certain surgeries around the genitals. So he would see the penises when he would be there in the room to help. Like, he sold medical equipment. A friend of mine, or a guy I've met.
So a friend of yours saw Sylvester Stallone's penis and told you about it?
Yeah, it's gigantic.
See, that's such a violation.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, if this kid is drunk with his friends one day, and I'm on TV and I'm on Rogan talking yeah. about my pussy, yeah. he might feel it's okay for him to mention, oh, I've actually seen it, it is pretty beat up, or whatever the fuck he could say. It's true.
He's like, dude, I respect her because she's telling the truth.
Like,
no, dude, like, that's mad.
Or he could just say, I once was in an exam room with her. And then they go, tell us.
Come on, dude, pound the claw and tell us.
They haze him.
Come on, Max.
They're little med school parties. God damn it. But what was this going to do? It was so quick, though. It's such a quick exam.
I mean, I got the
Gardasil vaccine. I didn't even know you could get Gardasil vaccine. It's so funny now with vaccines. Everyone's so scared. Like, it used to be before coronavirus vaccine. It was like, do you want to get this vaccine? Yes or no? Now it's like, now there is a thing called a vaccine for Gardasil. Yeah. And if you are, and I was just like, wait, but can I get it? I've had HPV before. It clocked it on my system for like 15 years, but I thought it was too late. I mean, I've seen the ads like, protect your young daughter from Gardasil, from HPV and all these cancers. I thought I couldn't get the vaccine. Like, after you have the thing that, and they're like, she was like, no, you can get it. And I was like, she's like, now the vaccine. I go, yes, please. And she goes, so it's going to be 3 shots. And I go, I don't care. Yes.
Yeah.
Now. Give me now vaccine. So now I'm Gardasil'd up. I'm ready to go. And
it
protects against all types of cancers.
Oh, my God.
The older you get.
I think a lot of people don't know that you could get it after the fact.
Agreed. Because we, girls my age, when we were already had HPV, all of a sudden this Gardasil thing was out. And we were like, God, we wish we could have gotten that when we were young girls and not gotten fucking HPV. Which you're just a carrier of, and then you have squamous cells, and then you have to get a colposcopy where they literally clip a piece of your uterus out, and they go, it's not going to hurt that much, and it's the worst pain you've ever felt.
Mm-hmm.
It's all this bullshit that you don't have to go through if you get this vaccine, and it wasn't available to us, but now it actually is, but I didn't know.
Can guys get that?
I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know. I think it's a girl thing, but... Yeah.
Well, I don't think...
I just rarely go to the fucking doctor. It's really bad. I got to go more.
I know, but once you go...
I got checked for chlamydia and gonorrhea. She was like, you want to do those? And I go, wouldn't I know if I had it? And she goes, no. I mean, a lot of times... And I go, well, then who gives a fuck if I have... Like, that's what, but I know that you can give it to people or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, check for them all. Let's do the whole thing. Let's do the whole gamut. So I'll know in 2 days if I have gonorrhea or chlamydia.
Yeah, my...
They asked my birth control. I was like, pull out. I literally said that in front of Max. I go, pull out. And she goes... Oh, so because I go, she goes, are you in birth control? And I go, no. She goes, so condoms? And I go, no, pull out. I go, listen, I've never been pregnant. That's all I ever do. And I'm 38, and I don't even think my body can carry a baby. I'd be surprised if I got pregnant. And she was like, you never know. I always have women in here who go, I could never do it. And I was like, then I'll be pregnant. But
can you find out if you're fertile?
Yes. Oh. Do I want to know that? No.
But why not?
Because it'll be sad if you're not.
I haven't found out, I guess. Yeah.
At least I have the thought that I could be, even though I don't want kids.
Yeah, that's a mind trip right there.
Well, it's better to know. It's like not weighing myself. I don't want to know. The number is not going to help me. Knowing that I'm a bigger number than I am is not going to make my day better.
But then you could pull in.
What?
You could pull in instead of pull out. You know what I mean? Like, if you knew.
Yeah, but you might learn that you're kind of, or you're less than.
Gotcha.
You know, like, if it was completely negative, then. But that would be sad, too, for a myriad reasons. I don't know.
I think guys can find out how many swimmers they, or something, some number. It's like an insanely high number. And you find out the high number, and then you go, is that good? No, that's bad. Like, it has
to seem like 16 trillion. You're like, yeah. And they're like, ugh, no, that's pretty low, dude. Like, what? The pot, like,
that
yeah.
seems more than several.
It's like more than the amount of gut bacteria you have. You ever hear gut bacteria and you're like, they're like, inside this capsule is 65 billion microorganisms of selenium root. And you're just like, that seems like a lot.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to break and come back with more. Andrew!
I'm coming down the country road to a city stop near you. The burger boy is coming back and the hot dog kid goes to sleep.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Well, the weather is getting a lot warmer, and so your wardrobe probably needs an update. I know mine does, and it's so hard when you want to buy new stuff because you want it to last a long time, you want it to look really good, and you want it to, like, stand the test of time in terms of, like, fashion. At least that's what I want. And so that's why I love Quince, because Quince is all about effortless fashion that looks chic and timeless year-round. I'm talking premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk top. They have so many chic jewelry pieces, like these globe boho hoops. I love those. You could just blindly click and end up with such wardrobe essentials. They're not wasting your time at Quince. I love the Quince dress I got. I'm trying to find it because I want to say the exact name of it, but it's like this long sleeve dress, but it's like a midi skirt. It's so cute. It's like silky feeling. It's just, I've told you about it before. Okay, there's so much cute stuff on here. I got to go and get back to the podcast, but you know what to do. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Nikki for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Q-U-I-N-C-E, quince.com/Nikki to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Nikki. Are you looking for some amazing TV to stream? Well, sink into your couch and indulge with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. We're talking some of the greatest comedies of all time. Absolute must-watch shows. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the crew in How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons of How I Met Your Mother are now streaming on Hulu right now. One of my favorite shows ever. And I mean, don't you want to know how he met their mother? Then go back home with the Dumfies, the Pritchetts, and the Pritchett Tuckers in Modern Family. Then you can start over with the Roses on Schitt's Creek and then see what's up in the Kyle household in My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. I mean, can you even watch all of this? We think so. Head on over to Hulu and start streaming today. Now we're talking. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, I have the podcast to really vent about stuff that's been bothering me, but even that, I can't say some of the stuff I need to sometimes. And there's certain things you just really can't tell anyone, and that's when you need a therapist. They're just there to listen. They can handle it. They've heard it all before. They can tolerate it. And that's why I love therapists. Don't think that you have to get through anything you're dealing with alone. That is not the way being a human works. You need to tell someone. Please take this opportunity and check out BetterHelp, because they will find you a therapist who will meet your needs. I've benefited so much from therapy, of saying the darkest stuff I would never even say in the podcast. And I know you're like, wait a second, you leave dark stuff off the podcast? Yes, I get even darker, if you can believe it. So if you're starting of thinking giving therapy a try, try through BetterHelp. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And it's online, and you can leave your therapist at any point with no questions asked. So this is perfect for someone who's noncommittal, who's scared, who's never tried therapy before. Get whatever you've got off your chest. Get it off your chest with
BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Nikki Glaser today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Nikki Glaser.
Okay, we're back. Ways to get. Let's just talk about what you just said in your rap before break.
That's the hot dog kid goes to sleep. Rap is at the end.
Okay, the song portion. What the hot dog kid goes to sleep? What's that from?
I don't know. I think I talked to my mom. It's my mom's birthday. Happy birthday, Robin.
Happy birthday, Robin.
I love you. We spoke today, and I was like, "What are you doing for dinner?" Like a Carmine. Like it's her favorite place in Palm Beach. It's like really good. She's like, "My friend's making." Hot dogs and beans for me. And I was like, that's the cutest thing ever. And I think hot dogs and beans is on my mind right now.
That's so cute. Do you think
have you had baked beans in a while?
Baked beans, there's a taste to it that it was never my favorite thing as a kid, but all I can think of is scraping it off a paper plate. You know the little, the side of the paper plate, that little, like having the juices kind of go in those divots is all I could think of with baked beans.
This makes me think of how much paper I've eaten trying to get more beans. I've eaten so much of that paper off the paper plates back in the day.
No offense to your mom's dietary decisions because live her life.
Please don't.
Why do old people eat like the worst food ever when they are fragile? And like my grandma used to eat trash. My mom likes to eat like... As you get older, shouldn't it just be like the most healthy food ever? Or is it like, I have so little to live, let me just enjoy myself? Because my grandma used to eat hot dogs too. It's like, I wouldn't feed a hot dog to my dog.
Yeah.
I literally wouldn't. Mm-hmm. How disgusting it is.
I think that, generation, that's what they lived off of. Like that's, you know what I mean? It's not weird to them to eat. Like, that is healthy. That's food.
Yes.
You know, in their mind.
Yes.
And I do think there's something involved in that of, like nostalgia. I'm going out anyways. Might as well go out eating I want. Like, Last Supper every single day kind of thing.
Yeah. What would your Last Supper be? Last Supper every day is funny.
It's so hard to think about that. I think.
I know. I'm not hungry right now, so it always depends on how hungry you are. I think on my Last Supper, I'd be like, I'm going to skip three meals just so I'm the most hungry and like the like I don't ever skip meals now because
imagine someone
crazy,
goes
but if I'm gonna die after it then that's fine.
Someone goes for my Last Supper, I'm just gonna do like a kale smoothie with
I would probably do that, to be honest with you. I like the taste of things that make me feel good.
No, I know, but it's just it's such a living food.
Yes.
Today, who knows what's going to happen.
You're not going on a bike ride after this, right? Well, you don't know what my heaven's going to be like. Well, you murdered 16 people, so you're not really going to go to heaven. Well, actually, hell does sound like a lot of kale, so maybe you're just getting ready for kale smoothies the rest of your life.
Please don't kale my vibe. That was a smoothie at one of the places, or a salad. Please don't kale my vibe. It's so hot.
Yeah, it is. But do you know that people don't know this, that things taste better the more hungry they are. So like if people are like, this is the best hamburger in town, you're going to like a hamburger from Wendy's better if you haven't eaten in 8 hours than you will if you go to like the best place in America.
Oh, yeah.
And eat, and you've eaten an hour before.
Like, what would your Last Supper be?
So I don't really trust when people go, this is the best thing I've ever had, because I just think, well, that's probably because you ate it when you were hungriest.
Also, it's the Last Supper. I think you're going to feel a little.
The first bite of food is always going to be the best, regardless than the last bite.
I think you're going to feel a little anxiety before you're eating this. I can't imagine.
Oh, yeah, but that's why it's so good.
Right, like, before
whenever I'm
dying.
Anxious, food is like
that's a good
comfort.
Point, too. I thought that maybe I would lose my hunger if I was on death row.
I might lose it a little bit, for sure.
They're like, oh, lobster and butter. It's like, dude, I'm going
to
die.
And if it's like
minutes.
A hanging, you would shit everywhere. So maybe it would be fun to like give them a really mess to clean up.
Oh, yeah.
Even if you're being electrocuted, I bet you shit. I think like when you die, you shit no matter what.
I just love someone going, I'm just going to have a couple carrots because I don't want to look like an idiot with shit everywhere.
Yeah. I would probably do Skyline chili.
Oh, God.
I really would. That used to be my favorite
Your
food.
Executioner will kill himself after he sees that mess.
I literally used to make myself sick every time I ate Skyline chili as a kid because I would be it would be such a treat. And I would, every single time I left Skyline as a child, that's how I know I had eating disorder stuff long before it ever struck me. I would feel the need to throw up every single time I ate Skyline, as you know, from the ages of 7 to 15.
I've had it one time.
Yeah.
And I remember not being not loving it. I don't know why. So it wasn't good. For me.
Like, well, I only wanted to throw up because I ate too much of it. It was never because it was like bad or tasted bad or made me feel sick. It was just, it's so good. Oh my God. I love it so much. That would probably be my last meal.
Skyline chili.
Or like a deep dish pizza or something. But aren't like really thick, food, saucy.
Aren't certain thing. Foods like Skyline chili when you were that age was fantastic. But now, like I had a, the other day I had like a Big Mac, a while ago, but I remember just eating a McDonald's cheeseburger or a double cheeseburger and being like, oh my God, I get to, and it just didn't hit the same at all.
Well, you know, I read this, that kids' palates, the reason kids don't like a lot of food and then you get to, you grow up and you start liking it is because kids are dumb and so they eat more stuff. Like, and when we used to be like foragers, kids would eat, your taste buds are turned up so that poison in plants is more discernible. So that's why kids hate foods because their taste buds are so much more sensitive because they're stupid. We need to make them more sensitive. When you get to be an adult as a, you know, tribesman, you've lived a little bit more. You know what plants to avoid, what berries to avoid. You don't need your senses to go, no, don't do this.
Yeah.
And so your tastes get more... you have a wider range of things that you can eat and not be like disgusted by, because it doesn't make sense that kids are grossed out by onions and then adults can have them.
Yeah, they're grossed out by peas.
Yeah.
I hated peas.
That's more like...
Eat all your peas.
That's more societal, like Brussels sprouts and peas. That was always like the classic thing a kid would reject, you know?
I know, and that's, I guess I was classic.
It gets in your head.
Oh, because you're told that.
Yeah, you're told like that, you know, the little rascals don't like peas, or like Garfield doesn't like salads or whatever.
Yeah, there was something like you're going to eat your greens or like, you know, I just do meat. I remember I've said that out of my mouth before, like, I don't do salad. like back in the day.
Yes.
You
probably heard your mom say that.
I don't do vegetables.
You probably heard
what?
But do your parents eat vegetables?
On their hot dogs and beans.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, my dad, no one eats, me and my brothers eat somewhat healthy, but yeah, growing up, we didn't eat horribly,
right?
But it wasn't ever discussed, you know, like my mom would go on weird diets,
yeah,
you know, and then like have, you know, lose weight to go on a cruise in a month.
Yeah,
I'm sure that's where I got my spring break body from.
Yeah, you definitely have that diet thing of where you're like, I'm just going to do this thing and this is going to be the way I'd eat for the rest of my life. And you're like, you're really never going to have anything except, you know, ham. Like I'm just going to do grapefruits and ham. And you're like, I don't think that's sustainable. And you're going to.
You don't know me, Nikki. I'm a grapefruit and ham guy now.
My mom does the same thing. She's like, I'm just doing cauliflower crust. Everything. Not doing. Listen, I don't need bread anymore. We're just doing cauliflower crust. And you just go. Okay, this will be good until you go on your trip to Croatia.
On the crust, it's just cauliflower.
No, but I mean, like, she switched to that.
It's so funny.
But yeah.
It's so funny. It is. It really, I'm just going to smell broccoli for 3 weeks and then eat nails.
Yeah. I mean, I'm guaranteeing you thousands of people listening are in some diet where they go, I'm just eating this.
Oh, for sure.
And it's just good luck to you. I know you think, or I'm going to do this workout every day for the rest of my life. I've thought of that a million times in my life. Unless you die in a week, it will not be the workout you do the rest of your life. It just won't. Things change. Everything changes. But
well,
how's that 45 going?
The same.
What?
I'm still doing it a lot.
I know, but it's not going to last forever.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
As long as they're open.
You really? But how many times in your life have you thought this about other things? Be honest. Be honest.
Oh. 100% I'm not doing it next after a week.
No. But there have been times that you felt this way about other workout plans.
1,000,000%.
But time's different.
I'm telling you,
this
as
is like
someone
when guys
that has
get
tried
married.
A million things,
yeah.
I think, you know, when you found whatever
but
food
I've heard
you
this
like
from
or whatever,
you too.
I agree. Yeah. I'm the first to say this. Like, you point things out. I'm the first to say that I'm flawed and I
but
come up short.
But you think this one will be different?
I'm not saying
it's not a good workout. I'm just
it's
saying
it's just a good workout for me.
Yes.
Like, it makes sense for me.
Yes.
Will I do it maybe not 4 or 5 days a week or like whatever? Will it slow down? Potentially, yes.
What happens if this place goes out of business?
Then I'll fucking get fat and fucking eat
ham and grapefruits.
Eat just ham. I'll smell ham and I'll put a grapefruit in my ass and I'll have Max take it out.
Oh, God. We got back from the road. yesterday. Yeah. It was such a long weekend.
That was pretty wild. Boise, how much we travel.
And then
Salt Lake City.
And Phoenix. Boom, boom, boom. Talk about boom, boom, boom. We did it this weekend.
Airports. And short flights.
Start on Thursday. Yeah, not bad flights at all, but lots of like, just, you know, checking into a hotel, having an 2 hours to do whatever, then having to get ready, then going to the show, then after the show, having to like go right back. That's my problem is for the next tour, the hang will be extended and you might not want to go on tour with me, but I need to hang out after the show. We get no hang time. All we get to do for hang time is before the show. Mm-hmm. And everyone's nervous.
That's an hour hang.
No, but it's not that hangable because everyone's just kind of like, Matt's organizing everything. Like, no, everyone's not together.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when we're in the car, when we travel places, we get to hang. But even in the airport, it's not a hang. I like an after show hang when that's the best part of doing things that are hard is afterwards being like, we're done and we get to relax. That's what I really miss. And like every venue kicks us out right away because there's always like two guys, union guys, who are like, want to go home. And I get that. And I want them to go home. And so I feel bad. And then the other night I got so depressed because, you know, Anya and Matt get to go back to their room and like have each other. And then I don't know what you do, but you have no problem. I just don't want to go back alone. I get so bored alone. And then I go on Instagram Live and I know people are like, Nikki, we'll hang out with you. I don't want to hang out with strangers in a town. I just don't. I don't want to go to a bar. I just want friends. And I'm just starting to feel like even yesterday I got home from the road and then you get to go hang out with Brenna. I went to hang out with my sister and my parents at their house. And then it gets time for everyone to leave. And my sister and Matt go with their kids. And my mom and dad are like, Nikki, you can stay, but I don't want to because I'm already starting to fight with them a little too much. And then I just go home alone and I have literally no one. And I'm just like bummed about it. Yeah. And everyone's like, I'll be your friend. But it's just, you know, Noah was so nice. Noah offered to, because I was like, people are like, are you going to watch the finale of your show? And I'm like, I don't want to watch that alone. But I don't want to watch it on FaceTime. FaceTime isn't the same. For some reason, FaceTime gives me anxiety. I just want to hang out with people in person. That's why I don't call it. I just don't like calling people. I don't know why. Because I feel like I can't get off the phone or something. I don't know what it is. But it's just like, I'm just starting to feel like I have to move or something. Because I don't have friends here. And I cannot hang out with my sister because those kids, they just don't stop screaming. Yeah. It's constantly screaming, be a monster. I love them, but it's just too much. And she can't get away because then Matt's just left with them. So it's just nothing to do. And I know there's like one or two people out there that are like, I'll hang out with you. But it takes a lot for me to get comfortable with someone enough to hang out with. It's just a bummer.
You definitely need girlfriends nearby.
Or a bird. Yes, I need girlfriends. That's the truth. I do. I need girlfriends, and I don't have any here. And it's really hard for me to make, it's not really hard, but to make new girlfriends, especially as, I'm not trying to be weird, a famous person who most people who want to be friends with me have a little bit in their mind that I'm, like, there's just an energy to it where I don't want people to be friends with me because they are, you know, they're excited about being, I've wanted to be friends with Jennifer Lawrence because she was famous. I mean, I get it. I'm not trying to say, like, but... And there's no solution to this. I know I'm presenting a problem that there's no solution, but I'm just like, I was really sad yesterday. And I was like, oh, this is why people have girlfriends or boyfriends or kids. It's because humans aren't meant to be alone. And my dog won't even fucking look at me. I walked into my parents' house yesterday. Luigi usually attacks me upon entering my parents' house, like freaks out. They were in the pool in the backyard. So I walked into a house that was empty. So I'm walking through the house. I get out there and Marion comes up to me and I go, hi, Marion, where's Luigi? I'm like, did Luigi die? Hi, Luigi. He's looking at me now. And they go, no, he's in the house. And I go, I think something might be wrong with him. I walked in the house. Never has the front door open and Luigi not run and barked at whoever was. He knew it was me and he didn't get up from whatever bed he was in the other room because he was punishing me because he was mad at me. I'm like, that makes fucking five of you.
Five.
Who's yeah, just everyone in my life, just not enthusiastic. So I walked out to the pool and I'm like, he's inside? And they go, he didn't greet you at the door? I'm like, no. And they're like, we really thought he might be dead because there's not ever a time that someone comes to the door and Luigi doesn't come to the door. And then he came outside eventually and he ignores me. He doesn't come up to me. He goes over to my sister and sits by her chair. And I go, Luigi, he won't look at me. He won't come over to me. I mean, usually he attacks me with kisses and like, you know, is just wiggling so much and making noises like this.
Can't like, little, home, dude.
Like pig noises because he's so excited. I don't even know what happened. I can't explain it. I'm very hurt, but like I had to like stifle it because it's embarrassing to cry in front of your family that you're and they're all being so awkward. Like, Luigi, go say hi to Nikki. You know, they're like mad at him. And I'm just like, nope, this is the way it goes with me. Like anyone who likes me gives up on me. I always get like, you know, people get hurt because I go out of town or like whatever it is. And like they just move on. Like I'm not a consistent part of anyone's life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it feels. And now Luigi is on the floor at my feet, but it's because I forced him to be here.
It's like Mango gives me that energy every single time, so I don't even know what it's like to be liked by him.
Yeah.
So I guess that's kind of
nice.
Cats
are different.
Cats are different.
A dog would greet you proudly.
For sure.
But it's just...
Yeah, I mean, that was... I don't... You know, I mean, that's... I feel bad. Like, that's...
No one needs to feel bad. I just understand now, like, oh, God, like... I just need to get a bird. I need to get either more dogs or a bird, like something that will. I just need to be loved.
Well, you moved here.
No one loves me. Honestly, people love me. They say they love me, but honestly, no one really loves me as much as they. I'm not anyone's top person. Anyone in their life, zero. Zero people would define me as their number one person they love, and that is a bummer. That's not true. It's just true. Name anyone. I'm not their top. Anyone.
I mean,
except myself. The only person who loves me is myself, and I don't even love me.
I don't even.
You're in
how
my
many
top
people do you think you're top
one? No,
how
top one.
I know, but
Brenna,
how many people?
You're Brenna's top one.
Yeah, sure. But
okay, so you have one.
Okay,
that's what you.
But how many am I top one too? I'm just saying, like
one person.
Okay, so you don't. So one person, like that's like it's not like got 30 people on their top one.
No,
like,
I know, but one person.
I mean, I feel like a lot of his dog stuff is.
Well, no,
I mean,
it's because I go out of town all like, the fucking time. And it's like because I don't have, it's just, it's just, and that's why I just get like, I just get sad because like my parents, that they used, I used to be their number one, but like that's not just not possible anymore. And listen, there are lots of people listening right now who you have zero persons to. Either you have no partner or your parents don't really love you enough or because either they have other people or because they just are shitty parents or whatever. So I'm not alone. There's millions of people who have no one who they are the number one. But it is a sad realization when you do realize that if the world ended, no one would run to you. They would all run to something else to save. That is a sad realization. Let's get to the news.
You heard it here first.
Oh, boy. I hope you're having all the swells out there. It's Monday, folks. You know what that means. It is Monday. Max, if you're out there, let us know.
Yeah, Max,
look.
do you love me?
Yeah, do
Max
you love her
like,
now?
I'm your
I fucking love her, dude.
After what I saw, I'll come save you. Okay,
I'll
what
be
is
a fourth
the
year
today?
Student one day. Is there a fourth year? Maybe third year.
I think
year
he says he has
year.
One more year, yeah. I can't remember our conversation. I was just so drunk.
All right. There's new research that shows an easy method to help investigators weed out liars. You ask a suspect to carry out an additional task while being questioned, and you're more likely to accurately tell whether they are telling the truth or not.
So people, because lying takes so much focus.
Exactly. So like, previous studies have shown that being dishonest and deceptive can strain the brain, requiring considerably more cognitive energy than simply telling the truth.
So if you want to find out if you've been cheated on, just hand your partner a Rubik's Cube and then start asking questions. And if they are squirrely about it, because I can do anything. I can be on my phone and do something, you know, do a puzzle, you know, my crossword puzzle, and you can ask me about something. If I'm not lying, I might take a while to answer you, but I'm not going to be, there's not going to be a weird urgency to it or like I can't do both.
Got you. Yeah. It's like rubbing your head and patting your stomach and telling someone you love them when you don't.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or saying that sentence and getting all the way through it. cops kind of do that shit. I feel like they always are giving like weird tests while asking you questions. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Trying to distract you with.
It's like, walk this line. Also, tell me, are you drunk? Are you not drunk? How many drinks have you had?
Right, right. I mean, I don't know. Lying is so hard to do for me. It used to be something that I could do and feel totally fine about because it's just like, well, I need to get by. And they need to be in the dark about this thing, or they don't need to know they look fat in that, or whatever the fucking lie was. Or like, I just need them to believe this thing and it's not going to hurt anything. And now it just like, it just eats away at my soul because I'm just like, I feel like I'm literally on the same spectrum as Hitler when I lie. Mm-hmm. Like there's some part of me that is nefarious, Machiavellian, looking up for myself. Like I feel like a bad person, and a little lie that serves my comfort level over theirs, which would maybe like the truth might hurt them or hurt me, feels like I'm just like, I feel like a bad person. Do you ever have that when you lie?
Well, I feel like a lot of times when I've lied in the past, it's been, oh, I just want to protect that person. Like that's like what you tell yourself. I want to protect that person. And now I realized, oh, and I've told the truth and you either have to discuss things farther. It gets better from telling the truth.
Yeah.
Unless it's a lie, like, there's certain, I don't know, like if someone's like, you know, oh, do these shoes, what, I don't know, something like where you don't have to be completely, not that you're, but you don't have to say you look like shit.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like something.
You could say there are better shoes for
there's
you.
There's better shoes. Yeah, there's better, whatever. So I think like in the past I've lied to help, to help others is how I would convince myself that it would be a thing. Yeah. But now I realize like, oh no, that's bullshit. Like
just, it's always for you.
It's always for you.
Yeah, it's always for me when I lie. Yeah. And it's, and you know, there's like in the 12-step program, like, you know, there's this, you make amends to people and you apologize and you kind of like right the wrongs that you've done in your life and you make a whole list of them. And it says, you know, you make amends to those you have harmed unless it would cause further harm. So there is that caveat of like, listen, we don't need to do everything if it's going to like really injure this person's life to find out about this thing 10 years ago that you did that they don't need to know about. So there is that caveat within that I always kind of go, okay, well, if it's going to hurt them significantly, I don't need to like say everything. Like there's a, lies of omission are interesting.
Yeah, it's like, and do you want to, maybe they're over it already, or you know, or
but the thing is, if someone asks you something,
what about like also like the urgency to tell the truth, but sometimes not always being direct about it? You know what I mean? Like sometimes the truth is very scathing, and finding different ways of telling the truth that are more gentle.
Yeah, I don't feel like that's lying. I like that. I think that's okay. Like that's the thing of like, do I look fat? I think there are better shirts for you than that. Mm-hmm. Or that like that dress does not seem like it's the most flattering thing. It's not saying yes, you look fat, but that's just being a little bit more gentle about it. Like, you know, that, you know, my publicist who was like, your arms are skinnier than this picture. Do you want us to do something about it? She was saying your arms are fat, but that was a nice way of saying it.
In that picture.
But I mean, regardless.
No, I know. I'm just trying. I don't know what the answer is.
Even though I'm vigilant against lying, I still find myself doing it sometimes just to make it, you know, a little bit more reasonable why I was late. And even the other day when I was late getting on a pitch for a very important thing, I was in the middle of an Instagram live with besties and then all of a sudden I'm singing and I'm like, so you're leaving in the morning on the oh my god, and like literally like got off like that so quickly, and got on this pitch 5 minutes late to like a big network, and as it's loading I'm like, what's my excuse? And I was just like, No, I'm not going to say I was, they don't need to know the whole truth. I just got on and I said, I have no excuse.
Yeah.
I have no excuse. I'm just late. And it was just like, it was fine. I didn't need to make something up. That's where I get really upset with people when they make something up, when all you have to say is I'm late. You don't need to give a reason unless people ask. And then you can say.
It's probably refreshing to do that, huh?
Yeah. I
mean, how did people respond?
Well, that's what they didn't care at all. They didn't say anything. People always go, I can't go to that party because John caught a cold. And it's just like, No, he didn't.
Yeah.
Also, you can tell someone you're not going to a party. How often do people go, why?
I didn't want to go.
No one asks why.
Yeah.
If you go, I can't go to that lunch.
Well, there
anymore.
Is something.
What no one that? Says why.
There is something though about like telling the truth to the extent where, like Noah was saying, where it could be mean, where yeah. that feels selfish too. Like,
yes.
you're not caring about how that person's gonna feel about the
yeah,
truth.
Yeah, when you asked me if I wanted to go to your dad's, and I was like, no.
When that happened,
that was cruel.
Can you write me a? Apology in a 12 step.
No, but I didn't say no because I don't like your dad, or no because I don't like care about your dad. It was just like I'm not gonna lie and say yes to that, because then that is like, I don't know, I just wasn't fearing your response, but I also knew that just because I want to or don't want to doesn't mean that I won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a different question, will you and do you want to are two different answers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you can say, no, I don't want to go to eat at this restaurant, but I will. I'm not really feeling that kind of food, but I will. But I'm not going to go, yeah, yummy, sounds good. Because then all of a sudden you're going to think I like Indian food and we're going to go there the next time you for my birthday dinner that you surprised me with. And I'll go, why did you think I like this? Well, because you said you were in the mood for it that one night.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wasn't. I was just trying to be, it didn't matter to me, and I was just trying to be appeasing.
Oh, well, I guess I'll just cancel these plane flights to New Delhi.
is that where your dad lives?
Yeah. He's always in a new one.
All right, next story.
That was a good job.
Okay.
I think three people at home got it.
A pest control company is offering $2,000 to families willing to let them unleash 100 cockroaches in their homes to test out a specific pest control technique
and
see how effective it is.
Oh, that's $2,000 to release them? And then they is there any guarantee?
There's no guarantee. It's an experiment that lasts about 30 days. And if at the end of the experiment they don't get rid of the roaches, they'll use the traditional
days.
Method.
30 days.
Wait, do they get more money if they don't get rid of them?
No, just $2,000.
For $2,000, 100,000 roaches.
100 roaches. Only 100 cockroaches.
Oh, 100 roaches.
But they multiply fast, you know.
It's a gimmick. This is a stunt because they know that they're going to kill these roaches. They might also kill your cat in 10 years from whatever cancer they lick up from the fucking windowsill.
Well, they said
so,
it's
yes,
I'm
sure it's non-toxic. But
I was wondering, though, have you guys ever done anything crazy for money? Mm. Like a quick buck or anything?
I'm trying to think of like...
Like an odd job you took, maybe?
I mean, every show we did... At first was stand up.
Yeah, I think that
driving in like 3 hours for $10.
That wasn't for money though; it was for stage time.
No, I know. Yeah. But
so it wasn't about the money. But I'm trying to think of like big
just
amounts
for the,
of money that you do something crazy for. I think.
I mean, being a dog walker.
I feel like I've being a dog walker, but that was for money. That was just to
that
get
was
by.
For stage time, though, I guess.
Yeah, that was eventually
put it together.
You but. Noah, do you have anything of like a?
I once worked in like an alternative healing facility that this like rich woman ran out of her basement, and I gave like these light therapy things to people, and then they would like get naked in front of me, and I like,
whoa,
yeah. But it was just
hooked up with this
because I worked at a health food store and this lady was a customer and she just had so much money that it wasn't even like an approved business. So
yes.
I think I was doing that illegally.
Wait, what would you do? I was confused.
You would like give light therapy to naked people?
Yeah, like I would shine colored lights on them and tell them
yes.
that it was healing
yes.
or like rub like an infrared light on them.
Well, I would totally believe that because your voice is so healing. I bet it was.
Where?
How many times did you do it, you
we
think?
We would do like these foot baths. Like I would give them foot baths, which is they put their feet in like this contraption and it's supposed to like suck out all the metals from their bodies. And it was just like
oh my
this
God.
Disgusting
all
water.
This bullshit. Oh, really?
Whoa. How
I
long
mean,
did
I've
you
taken
do this
gigs
for?
Before for a lot of money that I would never have taken if the money hadn't been the money. Like
yeah,
embarrassing
yeah, yeah.
gigs, bad gigs.
Oh, I did that one gig for the Koch brother, or what was the name?
Oh yeah.
Oh my God, that was horrible.
Well,
I didn't know.
Didn't
it. Sometimes
you
just
money.
Don't know
they
at
have
the time.
Billions, and they gave you like what?
$500.
Oof.
What was the name of them? What are
the Koch brothers? Oh, the I think. Brothers. Yeah, C O C H.
It was their nephew, and I did it, and it was in the back of a like expensive, fancy Palm Beach restaurant. I was like I was a clown that they brought in.
Yes.
And they gave me no microphone. I just stood in the corner.
How'd they find you?
He saw me do really well at the improv, and then he asked the headliner to do the show, and the headliner was like, "No, I'm going back to L.A." And he's like, "Do you want to do it then?" And I was like,
oh
yeah.
God.
And I had 5 minutes, and he wanted me.
Did you freak out?
He wanted me to do a half hour.
Did you know it was going to be a half hour before you did it?
I knew it was going to be like 20 or 30 minutes. He's like, you got to do like 20 or 30 minutes. And I was like, that's fine. But I thought I was going to have a stage and like a whole thing. It was just a back private room. And they were like eating lobster. And
there was no microphone?
No microphone.
Oh my
no.
God, dude.
I just stood in the corner. And I had a lot of act outs. So like doing act outs.
What
like
your act outs?
I did like some fuck buddy joke and... Where I'm just fucking humping. The wall. So I'm like fucking this wall in this $1 billion.
Wait, what's the fuck buddy joke?
I say, I've never been a fuck buddy. I've been a spoon buddy. And I've gone for the fuck. And the girl's like, no, we're just spoon buddies. And so I'm leaving. I'm walking out. And I would do the whole act out of like, you know, I'm a spoon buddy, but I go for the fuck. You know? And then they're like, well, you know. And it's
then rapey.
It's rapey. But, you know.
We know why you dropped it.
And then, no, it gets worse, actually. And then I go, I'm leaving. I'm walking out. I'm all sad. And a 6'5 black guy in all leather. I put him in all leather. I don't know why I put him in all leather. And the joke comes walking by. And before I get to the end, before I get to the corner, I could hear her screaming.
Oh, my God. You were such a little cuck.
And then I go.
This is like your cuck fantasy.
I know.
You like.
But listen. So then I go. I found out a week later. Yeah, he robbed her.
Oh, my God.
Of her virginity, you racist fucks. And then I spin it again. But he robbed her in Florida, would just destroy, you know, because people are racist. And so I did that joke.
But he's in all leather for no reason.
I don't know why he's in all. Yeah, he has like a gimp mask on.
But you do have a thing where like you sometimes will watch black guys have sex with a white girl on porn.
Oh, yeah.
And you just enjoy it because it's just so, their dicks are so big.
Oh, I just like it because they could do all the positions I wish I could. They could fuck from 5 rooms down. It's like, oh, hey, you want to come over? I'm already there. Look outside, my dick's at the window. Yeah, I'm sure there's something to that. Of,
is
like,
there anything cuck about you? Like, do you like any of that porn where the guy's in the corner just kind of sad?
No, I don't like that. I don't like that. I really don't.
That's a huge part of porn is cuck stuff.
Really?
Where like the husband or the boyfriend is just like kind of sad in the corner.
No, I'm not in. That doesn't turn me on. Oh. I think I want what's maybe I feel that way a little bit of like.
But you wouldn't want to celebrate then. It.
Yeah, but yeah. I wouldn't want to celebrate
right,
it. Maybe
right.
I'll watch something that maybe
you're
is
not
opposite.
A masochist.
I don't think
you don't
so.
Want to be embarrassed or made fun of in bed. You want to feel better by yourself.
Yeah.
But some men get really horny to feel emasculated.
Well, that's probably because in real life they feel like they're an alpha.
Yes, 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 yes. So I listened to Conan O'Brien, Jeff Goldblum on there. Yes, yes. Ah, yes, my dear boy.
Is that Goldblum?
Yeah, that's Goldblum. He's, I couldn't be more horny for anyone than Jeff Goldblum. He's the coolest. You got to listen to him on that.
Yeah,
he just seems like the best person in the world. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back with Why Do I Care?
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease.
Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at conairgirlbomb.com or a retailer near you.
Oh my God, you guys, I'm so excited that Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast because they have like all of my favorite clips on Instagram Reels. I'm constantly discovering new comedians from these clips. And I always like, how do you even go to these shows? Where are they happening? Well, now I know because I have the information right here. You can go to one of these shows. Don't Tell Comedy are putting on the coolest comedy shows in the country. This isn't like a comedy club. This isn't a theater. These are small, unique venues like on rooftops, backyards, art galleries. If you're looking for a fun night out in your town, which it's probably in your town because these shows used to just be in LA and now they are all over the country, 150 cities in Canada, the US, and the UK. Don't Tell Comedy is the best thing for you to go out and explore and do. You're going to see amazing new comedians. You're going to see pop-ins from famous comedians. You've seen the clips online. Be a part of the experience live in person and do it on me, guys. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com and then use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show. 20% off. That's freaking good. Are you looking for some amazing TV to stream? Well, sink into your couch and indulge with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. We're talking some of the greatest comedies of all time. Absolute must-watch shows. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the crew in How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons of How I Met Your Mother are now streaming on Hulu right now. One of my favorite shows ever. And I mean, don't you want to know how he met their mother? Then go back home with the Dumfies, the Pritchetts, and the Pritchett-Tuckers in Modern Family. Then you can start over with the Roses on Schitt's Creek. And then see what's up in the Kyle household in My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. I mean, can you even watch all of this? We think so. Head on over to Hulu and start streaming today. Now we're talking.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right. Why do I care?
Why do I care?
I think you're going to care about this. Taylor Swift reveals yes. She had imposter syndrome while directing yeah. All Too Well, the short film, during her conversation with filmmaker Mike Mills.
She should have.
She said, I think I had this
to say.
No, it's honest. In the name of being honest, what was that line?
Oh, good job, Andrew.
What is the line? Mean, cruel, and okay. Anyways, go ahead. Yeah. Sorry.
Call me up again just to break me, like I promise. So casually cool in the name of being honest. Good job.
Here's okay. What she said. She goes, I think I had this imposter syndrome in my head saying, and then she said, no, you don't do that. Other people do that who went to school to direct.
Yes.
And then Mills, who's a critically acclaimed director, goes, I didn't go to school to do that. To which Taylor responded, oh, it's fantastic to know that. That makes me feel better.
Yeah. Well, I read this and I was so excited because I thought she was saying she has imposter syndrome about her music. Mm. Because, that to me would be really reassuring because she's amazing at music and it's, she's undeniably a genius. And that would make me feel good because I have imposter syndrome when it comes to comedy. When it comes to everything I'm undeniably good at, or like that people would go, well, that's what you do. But for her to have imposter syndrome when she's a director, she's never she directed The Man, the music video, and then she directed this. Everyone that does something for the first time, this is her first short film she ever directed, which is kind of a music video because the whole time it's playing music except a couple scenes. She should feel you when you do
there should be
the
like
first
another
time,
word for it, right?
You should be you are an imposter. You're pretending to be you're doing it for the first time. She did a great job of it, and she is she's just an artist throughout her bones. Like she could write a book and it would be just like someone's 18th novel. I mean, she is that talented that she can knock things out of the park right away.
She was a noob when
she's a noob, but not an
You should. No one should go into directing their first short film and feel like I'm a director. That would be insane.
The only thing I would say is that she has been in so many music videos over the years. She understands story.
I agree. But even though I've been...
No, but I think there should be like another word for it too. But then at what point do you go... Do you just take, you know, I feel like there's a line where you go, I got to take the reins. If I'm going to be a director, I'm going to fucking direct. As opposed to like, I'm sorry, I've never done this before. You know what I mean? There's got to be like...
Well, imposter syndrome is like you keep it. I think the part of it is that you don't talk about it.
Yeah.
You don't act like you have it. It's all like hidden beneath the surface. And you only talk about having imposter syndrome after you've succeeded.
Mm-hmm.
You don't talk about it during it. I mean, I do, but... It just didn't soothe me to learn that about her because she wasn't saying it about the thing that I say it about, which is the thing you do best.
Mm-hmm.
Real imposter syndrome is when if you're Taylor Swift and you think that all the Grammys you won and all the things that how famous you are for your music is based on you tricking people and them not really having good taste and like you actually being at your core not good. That's imposter syndrome. So Taylor, as much as I want to give it to you, you're not like us in terms of you have good self-esteem. Like, I wish you didn't because I want to be more related to you and I want to feel closer to you. So I was so excited when I saw Taylor Swift says has imposter syndrome. I'm like, if she thinks she's an imposter with how amazing she is. But then it was about directing and I was like, yeah, you are. Like, everyone who tries something new for the first time has imposter syndrome. That's not notable to me. But I did love that conversation she had with him. And I thought she had a very clever thing that I almost was like, wow, she has like a very, she's funny. She's such a good performer. Like she could be an amazing comedian. Like she just knows how to perform in every way. But at the end of it, so she's talking about the short film she did with this director who she really admires. And she is so intelligent and has studied directors and like studied film. I mean, this girl she's a genius. She really is. And so at the end of it, she says, you know, she's talking about the 10-minute version of All Too Well. And at the end of it, they finish their little like discussion. And she goes, one more thing. Do you guys have 10 minutes to spare? And that was like to kick off. And then she gets her acoustic guitar and plays All Too Well, which I haven't watched that. Some besties sent me a clip of it, but I can't wait to watch it. It just came out this morning. So I love her so much. And I love the outfit she wore. I love that she didn't look.
It's funny. It's like the only song so I can think of where the amount of time, like everyone knows that's a 10-minute version. Like Bob Dylan has some songs. We know the one Hurricane, which is probably around 10 minutes.
Yes.
But there's no other songs that you know it by.
By the length.
Yeah.
Well,
oh, the 8-minute.
I think November Rain is like 11 minutes.
Maybe. Which one's 11 minutes?
November Rain.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's like one of the longest.
The thing with the people know 10 minutes because All Too Well, the first version was like 5.5. We didn't call it the 5.5-minute song, but we always knew. Swifties always knew about a 10-minute version of All Too Well. 10-minute version, that's like all we knew it as was the 10-minute version of All Too Well. So when it came out, it was just like, this is the 10-minute. And it's a perfect thing because when I'm running and I want to run for 40 minutes, I'm like, I'll listen to All Too Well four times. Four songs is all I have to listen to.
That's
and
a
it
good
just
point.
Like makes
yeah,
it,
yeah.
it just for some
like,
reason.
I'm not going to run that long. I'm going to do the 3-minute version.
Yeah.
What about a 20-minute Tim McGraw? That's what I want. I want a 20.
I do not want that.
She just.
You sing Tim McGraw. Hope you think of me. I do like that song. I like everything she does. All right, let's get to top one, bottom one. What's the category today, Noah?
Today's category is school subjects.
I thought you were going to say shootings. Okay, yeah, because we all know, well, that's we don't even need to do that. My favorite is Columbine. School subjects.
So we'll start with bottom.
Let's start with bottom. My least favorite school subject is science or math.
You can't do two.
Okay.
Just because you say it fast.
Okay, pre-calc. Pre-calc.
There you go.
Okay.
Pre-calc.
Sucked.
That's chemistry and pre-calc. When we're starting to get into those kind of math equations.
Did you do calc? Did you get to calc?
No,
did you do
no.
college algebra? Which is such a funny name.
Calgebra? No, I never did college algebra either.
Such a funny name for a high school subject.
Oh, man. When I was done with math, I remember being done with math in high school and going, I'll never be in a math class again. I had to in college take one. But I really thought nothing.
Yeah.
My life will not lead Nothing I want to do has anything to do with math. I will never need it. And it was so great when, and I didn't have to take math my senior year because I did pre-calc and that was it.
When you look at numbers, like what was it that you remember that you hated so much? Like specifically?
I liked equations. I liked like X, like solving for X, Y. I liked algebra. Something about it just, I would just have to memorize these things that I just didn't understand. I don't know what I didn't understand. I just did it. Parabolas.
Pre-calc is like measuring like curves and stuff.
Yes, yes. I like, just didn't care about axes. I didn't like having a big old bulky calculator that would just, you know, that you would type. It seemed like cheating to me, but then at the same time, it was hard. You type in all these things in a calculator and then it makes a little graph for you.
Oh, the functions. I hate functions.
I just hated that stuff. And I wasn't naturally good at it. So I was just like, I never want to do this. And then of course, gym. Number one is gym. Gym.
That's the only class I like.
Number
one is gym. Number one is gym. I'm sorry.
That was mine.
You hate gym more than math?
Oh, absolutely. I would
be. Bottom for me was also. I still have.
Oh my God.
I still have dreams where.
Of how great gym.
We used to have these AB schedules where it was like, or like every day you would drop like. No, this is what we did. Every day you would drop a different class and it would go in order. Like, so Monday you wouldn't have first hour. It would just be second through seventh. Then the second day it would be one and then you skip two.
And then next day.
And I still have dreams where it's skipping fourth period. And fourth period was always gym. And I'd be like, yes, I still have dreams having to go to gym, getting stressed out about changing what activity we were going to do that day, that I was going to be embarrassed because I had no, like, this is why I can't go to pickleball with Chris and his family because I cannot. I don't like learning something new and being so bad at it.
Can I tell you? Wait, hold on. In my school, we didn't even change for gym. And if gym would be in the middle of the day, we would just like be in our sweaty jeans and t-shirts.
Sweaty after. Yeah, that's the problem.
I would prefer that, to be honest. Because back then, when you change, I was always worried about what my outfit looked like, if my shorts were cute enough, if like my sports bra was cute. And then you have to get naked in front of the girls in the locker room. I mean, that was a whole, and then you don't shower either. You just change back into the clothes before.
Yeah, that's bad.
That was almost grosser to me than just staying in the clothes. But yes, no, that is disgusting.
And what I hated about it, why it's my bottom, is because I did not, and still to this day, like I don't run in front of people. I don't like people seeing me run. Really? I just feel so stupid.
Interesting. What about like ball sports, hand-eye coordination sports and stuff like that?
Oh, and that. I'm no good at that either. I just like, I felt so stupid and I felt like everyone would be looking at me, especially if we would pick teams and stuff for dodgeball, which is what we used to play in public school. I just hated it.
Dodgeball. Fucking fuck dodgeball. Fuck all those sports.
I love them.
I really hated sports. And you know what? No one talks about this, but we are not alone. There are so many people that don't like gym out there. But it was I remember it was always the subject that everyone had to love. And I almost felt dumb that I didn't like it because it was every boy's favorite thing. It was every like sporty girl's, like it was this like blow off class. But for me, I didn't care about my grade. That was not a part of it. It was just embarrassing. Constant embarrassment, constant chronic worrying.
Did you play with the boys? I think.
Yeah, we had co-ed.
Yeah, co-ed. Yeah.
But then we also had separate at some point. But sometimes we combined and it was just like, this is hell. I would rather get my period and slip on it and break my leg and not have to do this than have to do this and have like a bad, you know, form.
It was such a relief for me to do gym because I had such bad ADD that it was the only place I could really lean into that.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, run and get a ball and not think and sit in a chair.
And you were naturally born an athlete.
I'm in a chair like this.
You're an NBA.
I'm like this the whole time I'm in a classroom. Yes. And I'm doodling because I can't look at the board. Like I was a mess. Like I didn't even realize it. Like now when I think back, you know, just.
You don't fidget that much anymore. I mean, I did an impression of you this weekend that was pretty accurate.
Well, if you told me that I have to watch something and not be able to talk. And not be able to move.
Yeah, that's it.
It's crazy that you have to sit in a fucking chair as a kid, just sit there and listen to a fucking boring. The guy doesn't even. They don't even try to spice it up.
No, you're right. It's excruciating.
What's your bottom?
But so you love gym. Okay, your.
I would say chemistry.
Yeah.
Thinking back, I'm like, I think I should have found that interesting because it is kind of cool to like. Like, how does shit work, you know?
Yeah.
Like, like, I don't know if physics, I don't even know if I took physics, but I, the idea of physics, I think I would hate it. I don't know. I just didn't, it didn't sit with my brain. I didn't, I loved, whatever. Number one was probably, but history I really liked.
So your number one is history.
No, if it couldn't be gym.
Right, right, yeah. Right, right.
If we're eliminating gym as... So
your bottom is chemistry, your top is history.
History. Why,
history also, for me, not in my top because there's too much of it and I'll never be able to know it all. At least with chemistry and math, there is... I know there's infinite numbers, but there's a history, like, but yeah, I can learn about the Cold War, but I don't know what was happening individually to different places, like they're different battles. Then if you go even more micro, there's people within those battles, and it's like there's too many things.
Yeah,
it I was just felt good like I was doing it. The spark notes of it.
I think I was just good at it, like memorizing things. I could do it really well. I don't know why, but
memorizing, like, do you still know, like, do you know when the Cold War was? Like, I don't know what the Cold War was. I can probably give you a kind of around the dates, but I don't know what it was. I know that it was about like Russia and arms issues and stuff, but that's it.
70s, 80s.
Yeah. I wasn't going to say that, but let's just pretend I was. I just want to be honest with you guys. Was not going to
guess. I just love that you picked like a history, like that was like the most latest war. It's like, when was.
But I really don't. That's the Cold War and the Korean War and World War One are the ones that I'm very like, those are the ones I should know. Don't know a lot about. Took AP. U.S. did very well in it because I would just go from one to the next and then dump all of it out of my brain. As soon as I learned one, I would go to the next one.
You know why I think I liked it? Because you just have to memorize. No, it didn't really take too much reading comprehension. You just had to memorize.
Oh,
so it was just so straightforward. You know, like English. It's like, what does this story mean to you? Or like,
that's what I like about it, because then you can make anything.
Yeah, that's
up.
True too. That's a good point.
Yeah, number one for me was English. No doubt.
Yeah.
Like, because you can just...
That's a good point. I never really thought about it that way. You could just bullshit your... And what are you going to argue my point?
And it's but being grammatically, a comedian. It's just like taking ideas and being like, oh, how does this mean to me? And then someone goes, whoa, that's brilliant. And you can... And like, I just realized early on that you can just... If you have a strong enough opinion about something and have stuff to back it up... And five paragraph essays just made sense to me. First sentence, get their attention. Second sentence, set up a little bit more of what you're going to say. Third sentence, present your
thesis.
Third paragraph. No, third sentence of the first paragraph. Sentence. Then the last paragraph, tell them what you're going to do. And then the next thing. Okay, then the first paragraph or the second paragraph, set up your first idea. Third paragraph, set up the second. Like, it just was like fill in the blanks almost.
Maybe because I just didn't like my English. There's also like teacher.
Yeah, that's about
the
teachers.
The teacher could be a huge
teachers.
Thing.
Teachers. Oh my God, I thought my mom actually, this is weird that you actually picked this one, Noah, or even suggested
whoever. Because I had a math teacher I just loved the math teacher because he believed in me and like he I don't know.
Aww.
He made me feel seen. He was
it's
also
so
my basketball.
Teachers. What was his
it
name?
It is teachers. Mr. Gordon. Great guy. If you're out there, Mr. Gordon, you're fucking thank you.
So my mom's friend is a teacher and she used to work. She was my English teacher in eighth grade, but my science teacher in eighth grade printed out a page from my middle school eighth grade yearbook that I had written in her yearbook. Final thought.
Yeah.
This is Mrs. Baldwin, I guess, remembered me and now knows who I've become and now found my entry because it didn't. I think she remembered it because she should. I mean, this is insane. I'm such a little brown noser. But I think I meant it. Miss Baldwin was awesome. She was my science teacher in eighth grade. And if I would have continued to have her, she probably would have kept me interested in science. But I wrote, "Dear Mrs. Baldwin, when I look back on this year, I realize I've learned so much from you. Before this class, science was something I could barely understand and still get away with a good grade. But with you, I've realized that that is not what science is all about. You taught me how to work hard for what grade I want. I love science so much now. The TRF, has the tropical rainforest, has always been one of the things I've wanted to learn about, and you taught me so much about it. Your class was my fave at North, was the school I went to, all 3 years. You were one of the best teachers in the world. I hope that next year I will see you. Thanks for a year of great fun. P.S. You taught me more about science than I have been taught than I have ever been taught. And I hope to pursue a career in that field thanks to you. Love always, Nikki Glaser."
Aw. That's really sweet.
To my eighth grade teacher, it's like, was I in love with her? What's going on with me?
Yeah, and here's this Dave Matthews song.
I really latched. No, I wasn't into him yet. That was 2 years away. But I really latched on to teachers. Like, I loved them so much and I wanted them to love me. It brings us back around. No one loves me. Yes, they do. I don't write to me and go, Nikki, I love you. You can write to me and say, I relate to you not feeling loved, but please don't write to me that you love. I know people love me. I know, but I'm just no one's number one and I have no one to watch my TV show with. Like, that is a sad thing. Like, I've literally become Britney Spears in the song Lucky. Do you know that song? I've talked about it before. It's my favorite song. I used to, in eighth grade, I used to sing it. And I remember making my bed one day and thinking, I hope someday I can sing the song and it is my life. Because I wanted to be famous. Not because I wanted to cry in my lonely heart. Thinking, if there's something missing in my life, then why do the, if there's nothing missing in my life, then why do these tears come at night? I literally manifested that song, Lucky. It is my life. Early morning, I wake up, a knock, knock, knock on the door. From Andrew being like, hey, are you up yet? It's time for makeup. Perfect smile. It's you they're all waiting for. Isn't she lucky, this Hollywood girl? She's so lucky. Saint She's Louis. A star, but she cries in her lonely heart thinking, if there's nothing missing in my life, then why do these tears come at night? Lost in an image, in a dream, but there's no one there to wake her up. The world is a spinning, but she keeps on winning. And tell me what happens when it stops. Isn't she lucky? Isn't she lovely? This Hollywood girl. Then why do these tears come at night? I mean, this is so me. Like, there's something about you have a TV show following your life, yet when it comes, when it's the premiere, when it's the finale of the show and it's going away and everyone's like texting you, oh my God, are you going to watch it? You're alone in your apartment in your bed crying because you have no friends. That is my life. I'm not wanting to be pitied. I'm just saying, That is the, don't project perfection onto anyone ever. It helps me actually to realize that, because people think you have it all together. There's a show where it's like, Nikki doesn't know if she's going to move to LA or St. Louis. Oh my God, her life is so full, and legit have no one to watch it with. Yes, Noah was kind and asked me if I wanted to watch on FaceTime with her, but that I just, for some reason, does anyone relate to that of not wanting to watch FaceTime just so you, or the phone to hang out with people like you want it in person?
Yeah, I mean, look.
Of course.
I mean, I don't know how to respond to all this. I think you have girlfriends. I think St. Louis, you don't have girlfriends here, but to say that you have no friends, you're really looking into the negative right now. I feel like.
Well, you can say that all you want. I literally don't have anyone in my life where I live. Yes, I know I have girlfriends, but honestly, they all have boyfriends or husbands. Every single one of them. I have no one who is just down to hang with just me. There's no one that's like, I mean, I have to pay people to do that. It's pretty sad. We'll start us off with a rap.
Things are so happy here. Everyone's smiling. We're all dialing in to see the finale. We're all best friends watching it, eating popcorn, having laughs. Just number ones all around. Isn't this fun? Everything's a great time.
Well, I was going to walk Luigi before I left. I got to go to the doctor. Which one? Well, it's the
Proc?
No, it's another one. It's the one who talks about your feelings when you sit there with your boyfriend on a couch. And then I'm going to say, ouch, because I'm going to get my feelings hurt just like his are. We're going to couples therapy. Is it working so far? Who knows what's going to happen? I've got to go. I have 20 minutes to get there. I'm going to be late. Fuck. Thanks, guys, for listening.
You know who would
love
that?
So much.
My English teacher.
Oh, good.
Not mine, though.
All right. Wait, what?
Huh?
Okay. Don't be cut and Jack.
Jack be nimble. Jack be quick. Jack sat on this big fat dick.
Fuck. Is that? That's got to be an old wives'
tale. Have we done that before?
No. You probably have. That's only something you used to scream on the bus.
I added fat. That's skinny.
Leather.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at conairgirlbomb.com or a retailer near you.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
This is so cool. Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast. Don't Tell Comedy are comedy shows that happen in these really intimate, unique spaces like art galleries and backyards and rooftops. I did one of their first shows in 2017. It was in a random clothing store in LA. Now they are in 150 cities worldwide. You got to check them out. They are such a perfect night out. Don't Tell Comedy is the spot to go. Date night, alone night, friend night, whatever you want it to be. It's so fun. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com. Use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350 plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.